93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever. Forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Another day, another average Pompey display. It all started so well for the Blues on Saturday.
Marquis is going to steal it off, tilt in the area. John Marquis of Portsmouth can't get the shot away. Goes to the ground to get the free kick, yes. But Hardis scores!
But the Seasiders fought back with a decent display of their own in the second 45.
Feeney to cross again. Better delivery, great header, and Blackpool have equalised.
It was a game of two halves at Bloomfield Road over the weekend, and unfortunately, it was another lead thrown away by Kelly Jackett's side. A few positives to take from a game against Blackpool, but on the flip side, quite a number of negatives to discuss this evening too. Do you think that Pompey could be becoming too reliant on certain members of the squad? Could this slow start to the league campaign prove costly come May? And do you believe that Kelly Jackett may be losing the faith and respect of some of his players? 81400 is the number to text between now and 7, starting your message with the word Express. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at ExpressFM. We'll be discussing all of that and more, as well as going through your score predictions ahead of Pompey's EFL Trophy opener against Crawley tomorrow evening. Right here on the only radio station to remain passionately Pompey, welcome once again to ExpressFM for the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome to the Football Hour on Express FM, sponsored as always by Stagecoach across the South Coast. They offer student day rider tickets at just £2.50. Just hop on one of their many buses across the city, show your student ID, and you will be on your way. Okay, before we get started with the conversation this evening, Andy Moon caught up with the gaffer pitch side to gather his thoughts from the match.
Kenny, a point here, 1-1 at Blackpool, what's your assessment?
Yeah, it's a difficult place to come. They have, you know, a lot of buoyancy here. You can tell from the atmosphere. Our fans were great, you know, travelling up here and backing us all the way, which I really do appreciate as well. I thought in the first half we deserved of our lead and played very well and were the better side. They come back really strongly though, started the second half. I thought we looked leggy. I didn't think that, it was a period where we were going to get through it, but we did. And probably then in the last 20 minutes had some breaks there where, you know, good situations and goal scoring opportunities, and probably the two subs just helped us physically. I felt against, you know, a very powerful team.
It's a bit of an aerial bombardment in the middle of that second half.
Yeah, it was, and you know, Gnanzai's got a good header and had other chances, and you know, we have to realise that at some stage that comes and you have to be able to, you know, be strong enough to sustain it and come through it.
Marcus Harness coming off, which is a shame after he played so well in the first half. What was wrong with him?
Yeah, he's felt his thigh, you know, he'll have some form of thigh strain. Hopefully it's not too bad because he settled in well. Good to see him scoring goals straight from the off as well. And the game did, you know, certainly change when he came off because, you know, 1v1, he was a good outlet down the right-hand side. As he's been since he's been here, he's had a good start to his Portsmouth career. I've been very pleased with him.
Would you be hopeful it's nothing too serious there?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, muscle strains are muscle strains. We'll see where it is. Very hard for me to assess straight away after the game, but obviously he felt it enough to need to come off, unfortunately.
And then in the second half there was that opportunity, John Marquis, who forced a fine save but couldn't quite squeeze it home.
Yeah, we you know, we're under it first 20 minutes of the second half. I just didn't think we were really at the races. They dominated, they got on top of us, and you know, looking at Wednesday night slightly, you know, myself, my team selection, but whether we just look a little bit leggy, but certainly then with Anton and Alice coming on helped us physically. You know, difficult one for Gareth, but I did think tactically, you know, it was the right thing to put another forward on, and it just gave us more power in both boxes, but similarly more of a threat on the break, which in the last 20 or 25 minutes we looked just as likely to win the game as they did, whereas the first part of that second half it looked like it was going to be a long afternoon for us and a difficult one for us to get through.
I think it's 48 hours now left of the transfer window. What do you expect to happen between now and then?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'll assess our injuries and see exactly where we are. It will be minimal, obviously, because our squad is set.
But there's still a possibility you could add to it.
There's always a possibility. I'll assess the injuries and the fixture list coming up, and see where our strengths lie and what we need to improve, if anything at all.
Talking of that fixture list, have you made a decision yet on Southend next Saturday?
We have around about, let's say, about the next 12 hours to see, and we have three lads called up, and then Marcus's injury today. We'll assess that, but I very much doubt he'll get over that in 7 days. So it's a game I would love to play, because obviously with the Bury game then being the next week, it's something like the 17th and Burton at home on a Tuesday night, but it is what it is, and unfortunately we might have to call the game off.
Kenny Jackett there with his thoughts on Pompey's 1-1 draw at unbeaten Blackpool following the game on Saturday afternoon, who, just to confirm, has not added to his squad ahead of the 5 p.m. deadline this evening. But free agents could still come in if they wish. If they're not attached to a club, they can still sign for the Blues. And in regards to the Southend game on Saturday, he confirmed in that interview they were hoping to call it off. Well, it has officially been called off, so no Blues game this weekend. A game tomorrow evening in the EFL Trophy, and then not another one for 2 weeks. So a long time without any football action down here on the South Coast. Okay, let's bring in my two guests for this evening's show now. Then, first of all, I'd like to welcome back to the show for the first time this season, Mr. Ryan Stillwell. Ryan, great to have you back alongside.
Thank you for having me again, Jake. It's a good weekend up north, so I sound a little bit ropey, that's why. But yeah, it's good to be back.
No worries, I'd be worried if you didn't. And next to Ryan, we have Mark Coates, commentator of home games for the Pompey Audio Description Service. Thank you, Mark, for coming in.
No, thanks for asking me.
Not a problem. Ryan, let's come to you first this evening. It all started so well for the Blues at the weekend, so let's begin with some positives. And the standout, really, once again, Marcus Harness.
Harness for me has developed very quickly, in the sense that when he first started this season, you could see his natural indication to drift inside and operate in central attacking midfield. He was often leaving his right back partner without actually any option down the right wing. As each game's gone on, you can now see him actually making changes to a game on the right flank. You can see him affecting outside of a team's formation rather than drifting in. So he's developing really quickly into an important player. Yes, he's picked up a little bit of an injury, but due to a fixture postponement series, it appears we may just get through that. But yeah, he's looked brilliant so far.
And Mark, a signing for just under £1 million, we believe. From what you've seen so far this season, does Marcus Harness seem like a great signing? And perhaps, I've seen suggested, actually an improvement on Jamal Lowe.
I think they're different players. I think we'd all like to have Jamal as well. Certainly, I think Marcus, for just a 23-year-old, we were talking about this earlier, weren't we, Ryan? He's only 23, same age as Curtis, and yet seems to have so much more experience in his game and seems to make better decisions because of it.
A point at Blackpool, Ryan, on paper, perhaps a decent result. Do you see it that way, or perhaps still frustrated at the manner of which it really was thrown away, that lead?
The manner of which is disappointing, and in a broader context, I'd actually say it's a poor point. Mm-hmm. If you look at it on the surface and in match stats, away at a good team like Blackpool, good point. Yeah. In the context that we had their defenders on the run in the first half, we were pressuring their back line and making them give the ball away at will. And then to lose that and hang on for a point, poor point. Here's the best statistic of all. In our last 13 games against teams in the top six, when we played them, we have won one game. That was Sunderland in December. If you take the calendar year of 2019, we've played 10 games against top six sides. We have won none of them. Not one.
And this is why I'll get you in on the show, right?
No, and that's... if you look at it...
Yeah.
The ideal win percentage ratio for those games at least is 33%. And if you can get that, we've got one from win from 13. If you make that a 33 win percent ratio, that would mean we've won 4 from 12.
Yeah.
That would have been an extra 6 or 9 points last season up to the championship. Yeah. We now have an issue, it seems, with beating the good teams in the league. you need to beat the big teams in the league if you want to get out of this league.
I was about to say, Mark, but the debate is, you know, you can look at it on one hand and say, we've had a difficult start to the season. You could say Blackpool, okay, where they are on the table, unbeaten already, or at this early stage rather, not an easy place to go. Sunderland as well, they're going to be there or thereabouts, lost 3-0 over the weekend, but still a strong team and a hard team to play against. Even Coventry at home as well, okay, the manner of which that was thrown away as well, not good. But you look at those teams on paper, and they are difficult teams to beat. But as Ryan said, you need to beat these teams to be the best. You can't use that as an excuse.
Yes, it's where you see yourself, isn't it? I mean, that's a shocking statistic. It you really said you had is, one
yeah.
for us.
I did.
And you save that as a belter. Dear, oh dear, there'll be a few people speechless out there, I'm sure. There's got to be some comments on the back of that. But yeah, I see us as a top three side. I'm not sure that it will be Ipswich and Sunderland. Again, we were talking about this, weren't we? Ipswich and Sunderland, I think, are looking at those top two spots, and I'm not sure we're better than them. We're certainly not more consistent than them so far. But I see us as a top three, top four side.
We
should be taking, like you say, at least 32%. We're taking half of those as wins. We're supposed to be right up the top end of this league, and that's massively disappointing.
Yeah, not a single win this year. And you do think, especially considering that Coventry are top six right now, Blackpool are, Sunderland are. Mm-hmm. We were leading all three of those games. Yeah. The potential was there to win them all. And instead, we've dropped 7 points from those three games now with a defeat, Sunderland, and two draws.
Do you think it could be perhaps that the way the team has set out, Mark, that, you know, once we go a goal ahead, or perhaps even sometimes two goals ahead, perhaps we sit back and invite the pressure on us, and that doesn't seem to work in our favour?
Well, it doesn't work now. I think it did work in our favour last season, to be fair, and I think our strength was probably in defence, and he knew what the best combination was. And now you look at the players we've got, and we're an attacking force, but we're not playing like one. Yeah. I don't get that. We've got Harness, we've got, I mentioned Curtis before, and his best years are ahead of him. He must be a terror to play against. And Marcus up front is, you know, he's a class striker. I think he's gonna come into a rich vein of form if we can supply him. But we've got great lads going forward, and we're not set up to do it.
Yeah, fully agreed.
Ryan Stillwell and Mark Coates with their early thoughts this evening, but we also want to hear from you back home too. Are Pompey beginning to rely too much on Marcus Harness? Could this slow start to the league campaign prove costly when we reach the end of the season? And do you think that some players are becoming upset with the gaffer? Could the atmosphere in the Blues dressing room be deteriorating? The usual ways to get involved are as follows. If you don't already know them, then here they are. 81400 is the number to text, starting your message with the word Express, followed by your name and your message, of course. You can email pompey@expressfm.com, or perhaps find us on Twitter at expressfm. Don't hesitate to include a score prediction for tomorrow evening's EFL trophy opener against Crawley as well. Myself, Ryan and Mark offer a few moments to catch a breather, so why not spend that time to get your views across? Join us shortly then as the Monday Football Hour continues live here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back for the second time this evening to the Monday Football Hour on Express FM, sponsored by Stagecoach Buses, who offer adult day rider tickets at the discounted price of £4.10 if you buy via the Stagecoach Bus app on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store as well. Let's get straight back into the chat then now, shall we? Actually, first of all, Ryan, you're sounding a little hoarse. Are you all right? Would you like a drink?
I've got water.
It sounds like we've got Paul Cook back in the studio. I know why you're sounding a bit like that. We've had a weekend in Blackpool.
We have.
Haven't we? So, you know, what else to do, really, than have a few drinks and have a little sing-song?
Oh, God.
This is Ryan Stillwell singing Twist and Shout at Blackpool the weekend. It's brilliant.
It's not. It's horrible.
Oh, wow.
I think I can hear a few boos in there, Ryan.
There was a lot of boos that night.
You did as well to get out in one piece.
Yeah, I did.
Do you know what? I thought you nailed it.
Thank you.
I thought it was pretty good.
Thank you. That was at the Lifeboat Inn in Blackpool, a very popular haunt for Pompey fans, and yeah, the karaoke that night had been really dull to that point. It was sort of slow, romantic 80s ballads, and I thought, no, let's get a crowd pleaser on. Yeah, it was a fun weekend in Blackpool, so that's why I sound like we're going to go again, John.
You got to do it. You got to do it. back to the chat, then. We mentioned previously, Ryan, you know, Pompey's ability to see out games, having, you know, taken the lead. Is that something that, you know, you can see continuing into the rest of the season if things don't continue? Because Mark says we've got a very strong team going forward on paper, and in defence too as well. You look at the names in the defence. Okay, we've lost Matt Clark. That was a huge loss. But I think, to be honest with you, even towards the end of last season, when we had Matt Clark, things weren't too much different then as they are now.
No, and that's why I bring up statistics like the one from earlier. This seems to be a trend that is not just started this season. It started essentially when things began to crumble in January/December. Individual defensive mistakes were creeping in, which is why you ended up with games like Bristol Rovers at home last year, Southend away. Before that, when we were sitting back holding on to leads, say at like Scunthorpe away, we were under siege, but teams weren't actually getting shots off. We were holding them at a certain line of engagement, and that was it. Now we are committing mistakes at the back, and we are letting good teams get on top of us and craft chances far too easily. And something has to end, because good teams are getting results against us, and as you said, you can't let that go on for too much longer, because otherwise you start to look at the table and you don't want to get there too early thinking we need results from other teams now.
We mentioned briefly earlier, Mark, John Marquis up top for Pompey, a player who I think over the last few games has been playing almost like a target man, set up by Kenny Jackett. I don't really see him as that kind of player. He's a striker who, much really like Brett Pittman when he first came to the club, likes to get in those positions, is a nifty, you know, fast player, if you like, getting into those positions to score tap-ins, to score strikers' goals. And that's really not happening for him this season. And I think it's harsh for people to say that that's down to his form, because I think it may be the service he's getting.
Yes, I totally agree. I think you just need to have one look at him and see his class. He's a class act. I mean, Brett Pittman is as well. I was looking at his stats. 23 goals he scored for us, didn't he, in that first season in League One. I think that's as many as anyone since Todorov.
Yeah.
You know, Peter Crouch got 16. I mean, he's an exceptional goal scorer, exceptional player, Brett Pittman. He might not necessarily look like Cristiano Ronaldo in terms of his athletic physique, but he's in the right place at the right time. And Marquis is... maybe got an edge on him. Mm. You know, without being unkind to Brett, and he's a little younger, I think, as well, isn't he? And he's absolutely up for this. You can see it. He's worked hard, and it is the system and the style of play and the service that he's not getting.
Do you think that Kenny Jackett? Perhaps, I know we're not managers. We're sat here, you know, discussing it, but Kenny Jackett's a man who's get paid for his decisions, so he must have a clue. Unlike what all these people are saying on social media, Ryan, but. With John Marquis up front, as we've mentioned, do you think it could perhaps be time to take a gamble and start really building the team or shaping the team to play around him, to suit him, rather than using him in this system? Because I don't think it's working.
Well, there is an argument to that, because ultimately Hawkins was the centrepiece of this system last year. He's half a foot taller than Marquis, so immediately there's physical disadvantage, which doesn't really make sense. Ultimately, there is certainly a credible argument to shaping it around Marquis like it was at Doncaster. However, I do also think some of it is on the players to actually begin to put, you know, better crosses, better set pieces into the box. Yeah. We have struggled with that so badly. Mm. The amount of crosses we're putting into Rogi, we're putting crosses into the arms of ball boys. At some point, as much as it is the manager's responsibility to get the best out of every player, we're also going to need the players to make sure they can actually put it into the box. Because even without any pressure on crosses into the box, they're still far too soft, they're far too long. So, yeah, I do think we can utilise Marquis better, but we need better deliveries.
Adam Dark on Twitter says he's got a Clark replacement who he doesn't trust, a captain who never plays, an unhappy vice-captain, his best centre-mid playing centre-back, his best ball player he can't get the best from, the best striker in the league he can't create chances for, no number 10, but still playing his system. I respect him greatly and he knows how to organise a team, but he's making it up now, tying himself in knots. Just needs to pick the best 11 in the best system, not with a 10, as we don't have one, and stick to it. I fear that Kenny may be running out of ideas. Mark, as per Adam's tweet there, do you think perhaps a sensible look on what's been happening at Pompey the last few weeks, a number 10, really, we don't have one?
There was There was one comment I saw on Twitter that said, who needs a number 10? And in terms of him being lacking creativity, I wonder if that's unfair looking at that QPR selection that then brought us a 2-0 result. And who have we got on the next round?
I don't know. So are we allowed to bring that some up? Some small team that won a trophy about 50-odd years ago. And
But
they've got clappers.
But that was a creative decision, wasn't it? And what he did at with the back line, and he moved things about. I think he can do that, and we should. I think we should. Yeah. I don't think he's out of ideas
no,
yet.
No. I think the argument, Ryan, of people perhaps suggesting that playing players out of position is a bit of an unfair one, because I see it as Kenny Jackett signing these players who can play in these diverse positions. You know, Anton Watts can play in centre mid and right back. You've got players who can play. Gareth Evans, he can play in right mid, he can play right back, he can play centre mid. Tom Naylor, he can play centre mid, he can play centre back. Christian Burgess can play centre back, he can play right back. I think it's a positive to have these players who can play in so many different positions for situations such as injuries, players out of form, so that instead of having to worry about we haven't got a backup right back, much like the situation at left back. Not too many players of ours can play left back apart from Lee Brown and Brandon Hallstrom. So if the worst were to come, you know, to Brandon Hallstrom over the next few weeks, touch wood, it doesn't. We don't have a backup left back. But in every other different position, we've got players who can just switch. It may not be the most effective, but I think personally that's a positive.
Every manager in the Football League loves a player who can play more than one position. Mm. That's just the fact of life. Tom Naylor played centre-back at Burton for a time before he ever came to Portsmouth under Kenny Jackett. Burgess played right-back a few times under Paul Cook. It's ridiculous, the notion that a player should only be naturally gifted in one position. And we are seeing our players be effective in other positions. The risk of that is constantly shifting players around and disrupting the creation of a cohesive unit. Yeah. So there are risks to this, but there is absolutely no downside to Christian Burgess being able to play two to three positions, or Tom Naylor or Anton. It's about finding different ways to overcome different situations, and if that gets us winning at QPR, like you said, so be it.
Can I come in there? Because we were talking earlier as well, Ryan, weren't we, about, you were talking about a cohesive unit, and we were speaking about partnerships and Nathan Thompson and Jamal Lowe worked so well down the right, a little bit better than Brown and Curtis, who had a good relationship, and we think I think it's fair to say that Houndstrup and Curtis could strike up a great relationship.
Could,
and by the way, going back to what you said, Jake, a little while ago, that's the first thing Houndstrup did when he came on for Brown, wasn't it, when he was injured, is put a cross in and Marquis scored off it.
It's not just the defensive duties, but it's the attacking player going
for
forward.
And if we get those partnerships working again, like they did last season, and people know who's around them and they can predict where they're going to be, that's when we'll start to click. And I don't see the link-up play. And that's another thing we talked about, isn't it? That Rotherham goal that we saw this week, similar to that Bournemouth goal. Well, the Pompey goal against Bournemouth.
Yeah, it's
when did we last do that? Put 50 passes together?
Probably Bournemouth, and that was, what, four years ago?
It's like three or four, isn't it? Five passes. It'll be nice to see that again. I think we do need, despite this, this great flexibility of this team, we do need to have some consistency. Mm. And by the way, Tom Naylor is captain. Going back to that tweet, Tom Naylor is our captain. He's been superb since the start of the season, and the players love him.
Absolutely.
I was about to say, there was a tweet from Paul, who I'm just trying to find. Paul on Twitter, sadly, some Pompey fans think we have a divine right to collect 3 points when we travel to clubs like second place Blackpool. A point there is decent. I think we should be playing Southend this weekend, and we need to hand Tom Naylor the captain's armband. Hugh Bunce, in regards to Marcus Harness, 9 points off the top is a lot of ground to make up. Still early in the season, but making it very difficult for ourselves. Harness' injury is a big loss, as he's been our most dangerous player. Will be interesting to see who covers his position on the right-hand side. Well, fortunately, as we mentioned earlier, Ryan, no game apart from tomorrow's EFL Trophy game against Crawley for Pompey in the next week or two, so hopefully Marcus Harness is back for the Burton game on the Tuesday night. And a last one on Twitter for this part of the show, Jack Hancock says, Marcus Harness has signs of being better than Jamal Lowe. Don't at me. Okay, so those are his thoughts. What are the thoughts of you back home? 81400 is the number to text if you haven't done it so already. Start your message with the word Express. Pompey at expressfm.com is our email address, or you can find us on Twitter at expressfm. Please do get in touch and send us your score predictions for tomorrow's game against Crawley as well. We'll get through some more of those in just a few moments, as well as revisiting, actually, the Blues' last meeting with this week's opposition, Crawley Town. So keep it 93.7 as the Monday Football Hour on Express FM continues in just a few moments.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to the Monday Football Hour on Express FM, proudly sponsored this season by Stagecoach Buses. Find out more on what they have to offer by visiting stagecoach.co.uk. Let's go back to Saturday's game then, gents, and something we haven't really touched upon is the substitutes made by Kenny Jackett. And in the first half, one that really had to be made, Marcus Harness came off. We thought at the time it was a bit of a head injury after hitting the ground, but we now know it's a bit of a muscle strain, so he's going to be out between 7 and 14 days. He was replaced by Gareth Evans. That was on the 40th minute mark. That's not the strange thing, Ryan, because
nope.
In the 65th minute, just, 20 minutes into the second half, he was replaced, Gareth Evans, by Ellis Harrison. Now, I'm not suggesting that the substitute was wrong. I mean, I'd have wanted Ellis Harrison on perhaps a little bit earlier if possible, because, you know, I think we needed to shut out the game, perhaps get a second goal, and his attacking threat was needed. But to bring off a player who not only is a squad player, but your vice-captain, having already brought him on previously in the game, strange. I can't wrap my head around it. I don't think anyone can wrap their head around it. I know Kenny Jackett put it down to, you know, a tactical substitution, but you don't really see that.
No. I did see online the argument there is no room for sentiment. I do agree with that, there is no room for sentiment. But to suggest that Gareth Evans had been that unbelievably shocking that he should have been brought off after 20 minutes is, quite frankly, obscene.
I don't think he had time to.
No, he did. Really. He didn't have time to affect the game, because at that point we'd already made ourselves so conservative that all he had to do was defend. Mm. But I do think it was the wrong substitution. Rightly or wrongly, Ross McCrory was booked in the first half, and it was the wrong yellow card. It was an obscene yellow card to get. It wasn't even a free kick. And he's then on eggshells for the rest of the game for an eight good sort of 75 minutes.
Yeah.
He had to be a candidate for coming off, because I was convinced that one more free kick, we're down to 10 men, and we don't need that.
He did come off in the 81st minute. That was Pompey's third sub of the game, Mark. But his replacement, another one which ain't good for fans, really. Anton Mork's coming on in his place. Now, at this point, 10 minutes of the game going. Okay, Blackpool perhaps dominating Pompey on the pitch, so you can understand Kenny's decision to bring on a defensive player in Anton Mork's, but it's not one of those moments like Coventry at home a few weeks ago, where I think the fans just really want to bring on an attacking player and win the game rather than sit back, invite that pressure, and, you know, settle for a draw and perhaps even lose the game.
And he's consistent in his style, though, isn't he, Kenny? That, like you say, that Per Jess substitution, that still hurts. I think we were saying before, we want Jurgen Klopp, don't we, basically, Pompey fans? Yeah. It's a proper working-class club, isn't it, with passionate fans that are all about the community. You walk around Pompey, it's Pompey shirts everywhere, isn't it? That's that sort of club, and we want players playing with passion, we want them going forward, we want them trying to score, and we want our value for money, you know, and going through the gate, and that's not what we're getting at the moment. We're getting someone who's trying to grind out results, and it sticks in the teeth of Pompey fans.
Yeah, there's no doubting his CV as a manager, Ryan. No one's suggesting that at all. It is just his style of play, whether you like it or not. Sometimes it does get results, as it did in the first season, and, you know, the first half of the second season, so it's just something you've got to stick through, because you do as a fan, you just got to keep the faith as hard as it can be. But as we've mentioned there, it's a difficult situation, because in the final 10 minutes, you've got a player on the bench, Brett Pittman, who can come on, he can make an impact. He loves scoring goals at Blackpool as well, by the way.
He does.
So you just think that, regardless of what we've just mentioned, he'd be the ideal candidate to bring on.
You would, yes. And ultimately, after the QPR, I thought we'd made a bit of a turning point with the Coventry debacle. Because after we went 1-0 up at QPR, the second goal was cold-blooded, brutal counter-attacking. Mm. We actually put the game to bed, which is what we should have done against Coventry. And I thought, great, walking out of Loftus Road, I thought, great, we've turned a corner now. Then we bring on Anton Walks to sit 2 yards in front of the defence against Blackpool in a game that up until half-time we were absolutely bossing. Now we're back at square one, being really conservative in a game that you, ideally, given what we talked about earlier, you would try and want to win. And if you are going to bring Harrison on, as he did, take off Marquis, a guy who I actually blame for their equaliser, for not pressuring their defence. Okay. And yeah, Pittman, come on. Let our club captain, scorer of goals, grandad looking, beautiful man who does put the ball in the back of the net when you give him a chance, bring him on. Let him play some football.
Yeah, he's a great player. And him and Evans, he's starting to alienate two very powerful figures in the dressing room.
I was about to say, a tweet in from Alex Adams who says, I think Kelly's lost a vast amount of a crowd, so whether it was a good point becomes irrelevant. When you lose a crowd, anything other than an entertaining win will get slated. And that's where we are at, I think. And Mark's just touched on it there, Ryan. The players becoming quite upset with his substitutions and perhaps the way they're being treated. Senior players like Gareth Evans, Brett Pittman, becoming frustrating with how little game time they're getting. Are you worried perhaps that this could turn into more of a saga off the pitch as opposed to the way we're playing on it when you've got players and managers who don't get along are starting to get on each other's nerves and starting not to see eye to eye? Could this be something that perhaps changes the season and sends it in the wrong direction? Because you don't want that.
If it is going to develop into that, then it will almost certainly derail us. I hope it doesn't, because we have had a good group of veteran players that have been here since the Paul Cook days. Mm. And if you start to mess around with that, if you start to not annoy it for the sake of doing so, but making the wrong decisions, and that Evans decision on Saturday was indeed the wrong one. 20 minutes for a performance that is absolutely nowhere the worst I've seen in my years of watching Pompey. Yeah, if you derail the veteran players' confidence like that, their spirit of being part of the team or a valued part of the team, it can have disastrous effects. And it's the question is now, do you want as many games as possible in a short period to try and put that behind you? Mm-hmm. Or are you glad to have 2 weeks off so you can actually get in the training ground for two straight weeks really get everyone's heads together and sort this out? I think the latter. I think the less football we play right now with this conservative style, making the wrong decisions on the field, poor game management, I think the more we get on the training field to actually reboot the system, as it were, might actually help us.
And see Jacket actually adapt to his new squad, because it is different.
Yeah.
And talking about that, the McCrory and walk situation there, that is the right back problem. That could be a novel right there, the right back problem.
Yeah.
Since Nathan Thompson went, and again, we talked about that one. And for me, the difference between McCrory and Thompson is the fact that McCrory goes into a challenge, comes out with a yellow card and gives away a free kick. Thompson goes into a challenge, comes out with the opposition getting a yellow card and us getting a free kick. Now, I miss that. Yeah. I miss that, the Thompson flop. I miss it. And now he's at Peterborough.
Graham Wilkins on the emails. Hi, lads. I believe that Ronan Curtis needs some time out from the first team, as although I like him as a player, he just hasn't been the same player he was at the start of last season. Not sure who'd be the best person to take his place, but we need somebody who's going to get more crosses over to our front men, whether they are Marquis or Pittman. Also, as you mentioned, Marquis isn't getting the service he requires to score the goals he needs, although Harness has done well so far. It's still early in the season, mind, and although it's only 5 points from 15, we can't afford to get too far behind the leaders, or we'll be playing catch-up, and that will just add more pressure to the squad, especially the more senior players who aren't getting a look in. Then the vultures will be circling. And just quickly, Ryan mentions there Ronan Curtis, a player who, I have to agree, hasn't really been on the ball at the start of the season. Perhaps just time to let him sit back for a game or two, watch how it all unfolds. And I think he's a player who perhaps would thrive in that opportunity. Might frustrate him at first, but he seems to have that kind of personality that'll actually spur him on to become a better player in the future.
Potentially so, because we've seen what Ronan Curtis can be at his best. We're definitely not seeing it right now. I used the term before the show, one dimensional. It's always get to the corner of the box, cut inside on the right foot and aim for a shot at goal. Defenders know it's happening, Pompey players know it's happening, and I think maybe a game or two just to tell him, look, you've got so much more in your locker, think about it, come back to us when you're ready to use it, because he can be brilliant, but right now it's, you can call it touch by touch what's going to happen.
Graham also mentioned there, perhaps not having a player to replace him over the next couple of games. Well, one person who is apparently training with the Blues, despite the fact that Kenny Jacket has never signed a player who has been on trial at Fratton Park, but that's former AFC Wimbledon winger Nathan Wood. He played for Woking, actually, in pre-season against Pompey. He can play on both sides of a wing. So if anything develops from that, we'll be sure to let you know. Perhaps he could be someone who comes in as cover and perhaps to play on that left-hand side or right-hand side when Ronan Curtis is out of the equation, if that were to happen. OK, tomorrow evening, Pompey take on Crawley Town in the EFL Trophy, now known as the Leasing.com Trophy. Just to confuse everyone once more. Now, we reach the final 15 minutes of the show, and it's time for you to get your opinions across to us here in the studio before it's too late. Do you think the Pompey squad is becoming a little unsettled? Who would you like to see play tomorrow's game against Crawley? Are Pompey relying too much on Marcus Harness? And let us know your score predictions too. Get involved now. This could be your last chance to do so tonight. Text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400, email Pompey at expressfm.com or tweet us at expressfm. I'll be back with Ryan Stilwell and Mark Coates after a short break here on the only radio station that is passionately Pompey, with the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Monday Football Hour on Express FM, sponsored this season by Stagecoach across the South Coast. They provide cheap, reliable and frequent fares and routes across the great waterfront city of Portsmouth. Find out more information over at stagecoach.co.uk. OK, let's take a few moments now to take a closer look at this week's opposition, Crawley Town, who visit Fratton Park in the first group stage game of the EFL Trophy.
After 2 weeks away from PO4, football returns to Fratton Park. The Blues do, however, face 2 weeks without a fixture after this one, with the next league game not until September the 17th.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Crawley Town are the visitors to the South Coast this week as the EFL Trophy is back. Pompey start their defence of the title they won back in March and are hoping to become the first team ever to retain it.
Manager.
Italian Gabriele Chioffi is the man in charge of the League Two Red Devils. Chioffi, who celebrates his 44th birthday on Saturday, took charge of proceedings at the West Sussex club last September, succeeding former Liverpool winger Harry Kewell. He guided Crawley to safely in the basement tier last season, having gone almost 5 years without a managerial job. He was sacked at his only previous head coach position in November 2013. That was following a poor run of results at Liga Pro second division side Gavarano in Italy.
One to watch.
Number 9, Ollie Palmer, could be one to watch during this game, should the town manager field a strong side. The striker, who has a vast amount of experience in the lower reaches of the Football League, moved to the club last June from Lincoln City, where he's named in the 2017-18 EFL Trophy team of the tournament. Palmer came on as a 63rd minute substitute in the final that year as his side beat Shrewsbury Town 1-0 to win the title. The now 27-year-old spent two seasons at Havant and Waterlooville between 2011 and 2013, and it was at Wesley Park where he finally made a name for himself, scoring 37 goals in 69 games in the Conference South, earning himself a move to professional side Mansfield Town in League 2.
Top scorer.
Congolese striker Bez Lubala is currently the side's leading scorer with 4 goals from 5 league games he has featured in. In fact, he scored in each of the side's opening 4 games in League 2, as well as the winner in Crawley's shock 1-0 Carabao Cup win against Premier League outfit Norwich City last week. Lubala is just 21 years old and came through the youth ranks at Birmingham City, where current Crawley boss Gabriele Chioffi spent 5 months in 2017 as part of the side's coaching staff under former manager Gianfranco Zola. The forward signed a 2-year contract in June with the option for a 3rd year should both player and club wish to extend his stay.
Current form.
After a 19th place finish in League 2 last season, Crawley have had quite the start to the new campaign. Despite an opening day loss at Carlisle United, Gabriele Chioffi's side sit 8th in the standings at this early stage, having acquired 10 points in their 6 games played so far. Their form over the past 5 games in all competition reads as 3 wins, 1 draw and 1 loss, with the 3 victories the 3 most recent results. But when it comes to the EFL Trophy, will they prevail? We'll find out tomorrow night on Pompey Live.
Mason Jordan there with an in-depth look at tomorrow night's opponents, Crawley, who have had a strong start to this new season, sitting nicely in 8th in the early League 2 standings after a relegation scrap last time out. It's your very last chance to get involved now. 81400 is the number to text. Start with the word express at the beginning of your message, followed by your name and your message, of course. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at expressfm. Will Fisk quickly. Biggest concern for me isn't the result or even the overall performance on Saturday. It's how frighteningly weak we are defensively, which is a big part to the Kenny Jacket way of playing. Sunderland, Coventry, Blackpool all saw very bad 20-minute spells where 7 points and 5 goals were given away. Okay, we mentioned there tomorrow's opponents, Ryan and Crawley Town. They've started very well to this new season. Do you think they could be the ones fielding a weak team and perhaps Pompey fielding the strong team? You wouldn't have perhaps thought of it that way, but it could be shaping up like that.
I think we're entering a situation where we pretty much have to beat Crawley tomorrow, because you have to start building a winning momentum from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I don't like the arguments that cup runs can derail a season. I think if you look at last season, and if you take the FA Cup run and the Checker Trade Trophy out of it, and you just say we focused on the league, we don't remember last season fondly if it was just the league. Yeah. We remember last season fondly because we went to Wembley, because we had a great cup run. And I think at this stage, yeah, let's go out and definitely do all we can to beat Crawley, because we need to start building a top team winning momentum.
Yeah. In terms of Pompey's lineup tomorrow, Mark, what can you see? I mean, we've heard today that James Bolton could be perhaps fit for the game and perhaps coming in for right back, so he could solve that issue. But in terms of the rest of the squad, do you go strong as a manager? As Ryan said, it could be the time to get momentum. We've got 2 weeks without a game now, so why not just go for it? Or would you still like to see some of the fringe players, some of the younger players come in and have their opportunity?
I think there's without dodging the question, I think there is a chance to do both. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what happens on the right wing, though, if Evans turns up and starts on the right.
With 20 Hummels. Minutes.
Well, just to really put the nail in the coffin of that relationship, yeah. And if Pittman gets a go out as well, because, you know, he's a fantastic, experienced player. And Ellis Harrison, we were just looking at his stats, every 39 minutes for Pompey, scores a goal, doesn't he? So he might start, but he was fantastic against Birmingham, wasn't he?
He was.
And it's not likely Crawley, in, you know, with 10 points and just 2 points off automatics, because they're all on 10, 11 points, aren't they, in the playoff zone at the moment, because it's early days. They're going to want to have a great season and take advantage of that good start. So they'll play a weakened side for sure. It should, in theory, be a 5-6-0 victory, but who knows?
Playing some nice football as well, so I've seen so far, Crawley. Mark has texted in. I think the players are starting to gel and performances are getting better. Look where Luton were after 5 games last season, and Norwich and Sheffield United in the Championship. That's from Mark. So, yeah, a fair point. Still a long way to go, and previous teams in the divisions have started quite slowly and gone on to win them. We know that. Another text in from Aaron in Gosport. Why has Kenny Jacket signed all of these attacking players that only plays one striker, especially at home? Should be starting with 2 up front at home, as starting 2 holding midfielders at home sends out the wrong message. And why has he signed players that are injured? James Bolton and Ryan Williams spring to mind. Well, I don't think he's intentionally signing these injured players, Aaron, but he's got a point there, Mark. Just seems to be a frustrating occurrence for Pompey over, you know, the past 2 or 3 seasons. Injured players just keep coming to the squad, and there's nothing really we can do about it.
Well, you know, you wonder. I did actually ask this question when I was at Pompey of various people, and of course they all go through the normal fitness tests and all the rest of it. But maybe we're just not lucky, or maybe he's taking chances on players that are injured, mm-hmm. and actually that's what's bringing their value down, and that's how we're able to get hold of them. And he's throwing the dice, isn't he? He's having a gamble. But one player we talked about, Ryan, was who we'd love to see back in the side, was Watmore. You were looking at when he might be back, weren't you?
Winter, yeah. For the injury he suffered, if you put it in the timeline that NFL players suffer that injury and they get the best treatment in the world, bad a calendar year. And Watmore did it, I think, the first day of February against Doncaster. Yeah. So you are looking maybe around a calendar year before we see him back fully fit. Because obviously after a layoff that long, it's not just not being injured, it's being match fit. So right now for Crawley, we may have to play a full team, so we haven't got much else going on.
Just a few people on socials before we leave. Aidan Ford says, need Pittman back starting every week, can't believe he's been sidelined again, must have upset Kenny Jacket. Ian Dark says Pompey could be 3 games behind and around 10 points off a playoffs by the time they play another league game. More probable postponements ahead in international breaks in October and November means playing twice a week later on when others are getting good rest. It could end up messy. And Paul Scandling says, I think once this team settles in and hopefully avoids important injuries, they will be fine and right there at the end. Obviously not the start we wanted, but last year proved that it isn't how you start, it's how you finish. And a quick score prediction: Crawley at home, EFL Trophy group stage game. Ryan Stillwell, what are you going for?
3-1 Pompey.
3-1 Pompey. And Mark?
I'm going 4-0.
4-0?
Yeah.
Written all over it.
Well, 4-0 written all over it. Ryan, Mark, thank you ever so much for joining me tonight. I'm going to go for a 2-0 Pompey win. And don't forget, back home, if it does go to extra time, well, it won't. It will go straight to a penalty shootout. Okay, that's all we've got time for this evening on the Monday Football Hour. My thanks this evening to my two guests, Ryan Stillwell. It's been great having you on again. And Mark Coates, thank you for coming in for your debut. And where would we be without the input of you guys back home, the Pompey faithful? I'd like to send my thanks to everyone who listened to the show tonight, especially those who got involved in the text, tweets and emails. The wonderful Liz Beckett is back this evening. She'll be returning right after the news in around about 5 minutes as the award-winning show The Shout is live from 7. And when Liz is done, join Jeff and Aid from 8 o'clock. They'll be here with their guest, Spike Edney. He's a local guy and is the keyboard player in Queen. He'll be chatting about his gig with the SAS band at the Portsmouth Guild Hall. Rowetta from Happy Mondays will also be in for a chat, as well as Al Stewart. So don't miss the Soft Rock Show from 8 right here on Express FM. Mason Jordan will be waking you up first thing tomorrow morning, so stick on 93.7 for the Portsmouth Breakfast Show from 6 a.m. through until 10. And Tuesday's schedule looks pretty good for you guys listening in. Darren Gablin, Dan Lodge, Robbie James and Georgia Weatherlake will all be here throughout the day leading up to 7 p.m. And that is when I will be back on the airwaves. Join myself and the legend Alan Knight for all the pre-match build-up of Pompey vs Crawley right here on Pompey Live, with all the reaction of Pompey Live Extra Time with myself, Tom Atkins, and hopefully you guys back home too. Can the Blues start their EFL Trophy campaign with a win against League Two opposition as the bid to retain the title starts? Have a great evening, a good 24 hours, play at Pompey.